John chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. For if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God."
I started talking, I would hear an echo. "Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. He said I had to push a button."
There. There it is. Boy, these newfangled inventions. What I couldn't have done is something like this back when I was teaching. I'm sorry, I haven't even introduced myself. My name is Nicodemus. Perhaps you know me from the story that nice young woman just read. I must admit, I'm taken aback a little bit. Men and women sitting together in the temple, is like a temple. A woman reading from the scriptures. Oh, yes, yes, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I grew up the old way. Men and women stayed separate. And only men were allowed to sit at the feet of a teacher and hear the scriptures read and propound. But I forget that Jesus said that because of him, there is no longer a distinction in the eyes of God. Men are no closer to God than women. Women are not in need of any special cleansing to make them acceptable to God. Jesus has done all of that. I forgot about that. You'll have to excuse me. My My prayer shawl I usually use only when I'm in private prayer. And as I get talking, don't be surprised if it falls off my head. There again, I should learn from you women and put bobby pins in it so that it stays in place. Yes, I'm here this evening because I met Jesus. I not only heard about him, I not only heard him preach, but I sought him out. I went to him one evening after dark because I figured once evening came, the crowds would be gone, and maybe I could have a few moments alone with Jesus to ask him questions. That's my job, is to ask questions of God and to share with others the answers that I believe that God was giving me. I almost didn't go to Jesus for a few reasons. One reason is because my friends despised him, and I valued my friends. They were important to me. But there was something about Jesus that it just kept working at me. I needed to talk to him. They say that everybody values something more than anything else in the world. There is one thing that each one of us would find most difficult to give up. For me, that one thing was Scripture. And you may say, oh, what a blessing, because the Scriptures are indeed the most important gift that God had given to us up until that time. And there's truth in that. But the problem is, one can know the Scriptures without knowing what the Scriptures say. And that was me. I knew the Scriptures. I was trained as a Pharisee. I knew the Scriptures inside and out. Tell me a psalm. Give me the first line of any psalm in the Psalter, and I could recite the entire psalm. In fact, I have prided myself even in this. Mention to me one of the 12 children of Israel, the leaders of the 12 tribes, and I could give you their complete genealogy as it is traced in 1 Chronicles. I knew the Scriptures. But when I met Jesus, I somehow felt I was missing something. Here was someone younger than I who had had no formal training. Yet he spoke of God as if he was his father. He spoke of having a relationship with God. That was something I almost considered a heresy. And I know many of my friends did. A mere mortal claiming to be friends with God. The only person in our tradition who could rightfully claim to be a friend of God, and he never claimed it for himself, was who? No, I have to go back further than. Doesn't your pastor teach you anything? There is one person who is called a friend of God.
Abraham.
The woman who spoke. No wonder she read the Scriptures. Abraham was a friend of God. And the Scriptures even say, Moses even says, Abraham was unlike anyone else because he was God's friend. And yet here was Jesus talking as though He was a friend of God. More than a friend, he was God's son. Do you know what it means in the Jewish tradition to regard yourself as someone's son? To call someone your father? That is a sacred trust. And here was Jesus, a mere mortal, claiming that the eternal God was his father. Well, you can see why I almost didn't go to see him. I almost joined my Pharisee friends in putting him down without even listening to him. In fact, I remember a time close to his crucifixion when my fellow Pharisees and the others on the council were saying, "We should kill this man, Jesus." And I had to remind them that the law of Moses forbid us from killing someone without giving them an opportunity to explain themselves. And I told them, "Can we condemn this man without even hearing him out?" By then I had already visited him. And let me tell you, as I was going from the temple out to where Jesus was staying, I almost turned around several times. I just could not believe that this young man could know God so intimately. How could he know him better than I, who studied the scriptures all my life, who was taught by the great Gamaliel? Who taught Jesus? Where did he get his understanding? He could not claim to be from any of the major schools of Judaism. But maybe it was that curiosity that drove me on. I did go to see Jesus. And I'll tell you, from the moment I began to speak with him, I regretted my decision. Because he was so disrespectful. A Pharisee is used to being treated with the highest honor and respect. I made the journey by night to see Jesus. I expected he would at least praise me for my faithfulness. But what's the first thing he says to me? "Well, you can't see the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again." He spoke to me as if I was a child. He talked about being born again. Who ever heard such a word? How can a man enter his mother's womb a second time and be born a second time? It's ridiculous. I even told him so. You know what he said to me? He said, "You mean you're a teacher in Israel and you don't understand these things?" He acted as though anyone who studied the Bible would know what being born again was all about. I had no idea. Then later on, he made a distinction between his ragamuffin disciples, fishermen and tax collectors, and us Pharisees. "We speak of what we know," Jesus said, "but you don't accept our testimony." Let me tell you, it's hard on a Pharisee's ego to be compared in a negative way to a bunch of fishermen. But then I realized, if God is going to break my idols, he will have to offend me. And I have to tell you, when I went home from that encounter, the first thing I did was search the scriptures. He said on one occasion to my fellow Pharisees, "Search the scriptures. You claim that they have eternal life. They testify about me." It took me a while, but sure enough, I found it in the Psalms, what it meant to be born again. The Psalms told me that only if your birth is registered in Jerusalem, in Zion, are you a member of God's nation. It's like you people have that little card with numbers on it, and it says it's from the United States government. And if you have that, I think they call it a secure social card or something like that, a social security card. If you have that number, you're an American citizen. I wonder why you settle for belonging to a nation who won't let you keep your name. They give you a number. But that's beside the point. The Psalms were telling us that if your name is not written in the register in Zion, you don't belong to God. On the other hand, you could be a Moabite. You could be an Ishmaelite. You could be a Syrian or a Babylonian. And if your name was written in Zion, he was born here, you were one of God's people. The only question is, how? How can I be born a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? Your hero, I guess he's your hero, the Apostle Paul, spoke of the heavenly Jerusalem that John saw come down out of heaven. He said, that's your mother, the heavenly Jerusalem. God is your father. If you are born of God, Jerusalem recognizes you as her son, as her daughter. And if you are born again, you belong to God. How does one become born again? I asked Jesus that question. How can you do it? He says, you can't. Being born again is a miracle. Being born again is something only the Spirit can do. And the Spirit blows wherever it will. You hear the sound of it. You see the leaves rustle. But you have no idea where the wind came from. You have no idea where the wind is going. It's that way with the Spirit. With all who are born of the Spirit, it's like that. The Spirit comes upon those whom God has chosen. How do I know God has chosen me? Because I made that trip to see Jesus that night, in spite of every reason I could think of not to go. Because when I went to see Jesus and he offended me over and over again, something in me said, don't go. Something in me said, this man has the words of eternal life. I stayed with him that evening. I followed his ministry ever since. I tried to keep the council from putting him to death. And when they did put him to death, my good friend Joseph of Arimathea and I claimed the body, laid it in his tomb, and anointed it with spices. It was the only thing I could do for him. If I had known the Scriptures as well as I thought I did, I would have realized that he would only need our grave for 3 days. Because after 3 days, the grave would be empty. And when the grave was found to be empty, then I knew that this man, Jesus, was the Messiah that the Scriptures had taught me about ever since I was a child. I would have known that the purpose of the Scriptures was not mainly to teach me how to live. The purpose of the Scriptures was to teach me who the Messiah is and what his life and death and resurrection would mean to me and to all who believe in him. The Scriptures were written not to teach me about me, but to teach me about God and about his Son, so that when he came, I would recognize him. It didn't work that way with me. I had to recognize him first and then search the scriptures and find that the scriptures had said these things about him. But once I did, then I knew that as valuable as the scriptures are, there is one thing more valuable still. That is the author of scripture, God the Father. The writer of scripture, the Holy Spirit. And the subject of scripture, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. As I finish my testimony this evening, I want to leave you with one thought. I came to Jesus, as John recorded in the third chapter of his book. I came to Jesus at night. And it was truly night for me. I came to him in the darkness and confusion of my soul. Knowing that I held in my hands, when I held the scriptures, I held in my hand a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and yet my life was dark. I knew there was something I was missing, even in these scriptures, that I had gloried in. I went to Jesus. It was night. I left Jesus. It still was night, but I took the light with me. And the light of Jesus has been a light and a guide to my life ever since. You can have that same blessing. Not by knowing the words of Jesus, not by studying the teachings of Jesus alone, but by becoming acquainted with the man as the scriptures reveal him and allowing the man to become acquainted with you, who you really are, allowing this man to search out your heart and find those idols that threaten to take the place of God, and allowing this man to put himself in the throne of our hearts and put every other thing in our lives in its proper perspective. I want to thank you for inviting me here this evening. And I want to wish you God's blessing and the peace of Yeshua wherever you may go. And now your pastor has asked me to have you turn in your hymnals to the final hymn, hymn number 394. Perhaps you can sing this hymn to me as I leave.